Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, O God, for your wonderful love for each one of us. Help us, Lord, to respond to that love. Help us to love simply because you first loved us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody's looking up to heaven right now. I think it's on. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. The love of God. You just came back from camp and that's wonderful. And Pastor Selena talked about the love of God. We've been thinking about that a little bit. And I thought I want to speak on the love of God. But the Lord has led me to something, and you know, God's love is the basis. It's the most basic foundation of our life, our walk, with the Lord. It's amazing, amen, how much the Lord loves us. And, we have to constantly go back to God. We thank you for your love. We have to constantly go back to the cross and say, thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Because that is the most basic foundation by which we stand, by which our Christian faith and our walk is upon. We thank you for your wonderful love. Jesus, we thank you for your wonderful love. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, look at your neighbor, look right into your neighbor's eyes and say, Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. Those of you who have been in this church, welcome all of you who are first time with us. Welcome to Gateway City Church. If you're sitting with someone you don't recognize, you know, give them a pat at the back, on the side, back, say welcome. Great. Those of you who, know me a little bit more, have been to Gateway City Church a little bit more, know that, I'm very often a very, you know, rah-rah kind of person. Someone says something, I say, come, let's do it. JC is also like that. He's a rah-rah kind of person. It's on the move, on the go all the time. Very excited about the things that are happening. And always wanting to, you know, just go. And just this week, Wednesday it was, I was sending Ben, giving Ben a ride, and we had good time, chit-chatting and talking, and mainly he was talking, I was driving. And I know he was sharing some stories, wonderful stories, thanks for the encouragement, and I went back, I just took that. And, among the many things that we said, one of the things that he shared is, you know, sometimes, it's great to be, well, not in his words, but I'm going to paraphrase because I can't remember what exactly he said word for word. But, you know, sometimes it's great to be in that warrior pose, to be in that, you know, rah-rah, to be, let's go, you know, let's boom, bang. There's a different spirit when we come and just be still in the presence of the Lord and just be still and allow God to move in a more, you know, quiet, gentle, in loving kindness kind of way. And, I took that back and say, yes, God, this is, you know, the balance that we constantly need. And, I was praying through the last week, you know, Lord, what would you have, after camp, you know? Our church life is like that. At the end of the year, you know, God says, this is what you know, the theme for next year is then boom, you know, we are all excited, right? This is the year of? Oh, not very excited already, is it? This is the fifth month already. January, this is the year of change! February, this is the year of change. May, this is the year of change. And so, at the end of the year, you know, we always speak, and at camp, it's God always does something, you know, to us at camp. And post-camp, I've been asking the Lord, Lord, you know, is there something new that you want your people to hear once again? And I've been thinking about a couple of things, and, you know, the Lord has been showing a couple of things, and when we had this conversation together in the van, it was like, that's it. That is what God has been showing me. You know, I needed someone to, you know, just say it. Thanks, man. And it's one of the things that, you know, at camp, there was this balance that I was struggling with, right? And I just want to share this. We had 4 A's already, yeah? Okay? I don't know whether it's 5th month, God give 5 A's or 1 month, 1 A. First one. Oh, I see that. May already. First one. Attitude. This is the year of change. God wants us to change in the area of attitude. He's gonna, you know, do some deep churning, turning as far as our attitudes is concerned. Secondly, authority. Alright, God's gonna lead us, place us in different positions of authority. And it need not necessarily be on a platform, but you will have influence. You know, God's gonna open doors of authority and give that to you. Number 3, atmosphere. All right? And you know, God's going to take us and leads us and wants us to be that change in the atmosphere. And as we walk into a place, atmosphere change. Why? Because the presence of God is in us, with us, for action. Action. We need to not just talk about it, think about it. You know, we need to move. There are certain things that needs to be done. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 6. Number 5 is coming up. Joshua chapter 6. And most of us who have been in church, we know this story, but we're going to read it anyway. This is Joshua going into the promised land, and they encounter a great city called Jericho. Chapter 6 verse 1, now Jericho was tightly shut because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with the king, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once and all, with all, the armed men, do this for 6 days, have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear the sound, when you hear them sound a long blast of the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout, then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up every man straight in. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests, said to them, take the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry the trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. And when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. And, you know, the story goes on, so and so forth. All right? We're going to pause here for a while. And the fifth A word that God is giving us for this year, in the year of change, is to advance. Now, when you think about that word, advance, all right? Let's take our trumpets, pick up our guitars, pick up our djembes, you know, let's just go, let's just move. And I've shared on this passage many, many times. Those of you who, you know, grew up together with me probably heard this 100 times. those of you who have, you know, been around after a while, never see, come back again, have also heard this message. But God, again, Joshua, again. And he said, look carefully at what they did. Advance, right? How did they advance? And I gave you a clue what it's going to be like already and what the Lord is saying. But before we go into that, let's look back, flip the page and look back at what happened to Joshua. Verse 13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as the Lord's commander of the army of the Lord, I have come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place that you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. And after that, the angel of the Lord began to tell Joshua what to do when they face Jericho. And the thing about Jericho is this. You know, a lot of times, if you're talking about war, you're talking about army. Just last week, I watched a movie again, Braveheart. Let me watch that movie before. Okay. And all these soldiers are lined up at this one of the battles. You know, this horses coming forth, and Mel Gibson is there. He's kneeling down and he's saying this, "Not yet. Wait. Wait. Not yet." I think he says it about, you know, 10 times. I don't know how many times he says it. He says, "Wait. Wait." Timing is everything. Yeah. Advance. And God says to Joshua, this is how we're going to advance. Be still. Quietly. There's a different spirit from the rah! Not yet. It's going to be, you know, at least 7 days away. Not yet. We're going to walk around. We're going to just be still and walk. But before that happens, Joshua experienced something. And he experienced the same thing that his, you know, leader, mentor, Moses, experienced. Moses, when God called him at the burning bush, and as he approached, the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for the place that you're standing is holy ground." And now Joshua, he sees a man with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua goes over he's curious. He goes over and have a look. And he asks this man, "You know who? You fighting for us or you fighting against us?" The man says this, "Take off your sandals, for the place that you're standing is holy ground." And the Bible tells us, in verse 14, that Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence. Today I want to talk about four things as we advance. Number one is there needs to be a certain amount of reverence. In fact, total reverence to the Lord who is leading us. And here, two things are mentioned. One, take off your sandals. Two, the place you are standing is holy. The place that you are standing is holy. Take off your shoes. As I thought about that, you know, a lot of times we as Christians in our modern church and society, and even today we say God is everywhere, right? Amen? Yeah? He is with us. He goes before us. And I ask this question. how many times have we taken the presence of the Lord for granted? How many times have we taken the presence of the Lord for granted? We come to church. Do we come expectant and in reverence to meet the Lord? Because if that is the case, then something needs to be done. If we are coming into a holy presence to meet a holy God, something needs to be done. Very often I ask this question, what made the ground holy? You know, how come that side not holy, this side holy? Huh? Was there a line there? Holy, unholy? No. It's simply because the presence of God was there. Something needs to be done. In reverence. Now, I'm not saying that we all, you know, come in, have to take off shoes. That's not necessary right now. But that something must come from the heart. It must come as an act of reverence unto the Lord. Now, in order for us to advance, to move on, I ask this question, and the Lord has presented me with this question, which I want to ask each one of us as well. What are some of the things that we do in our life? One thing to advance, all of us, you know, most of the time, if we say advance, let's go, you know, it's something great, it's something good, it's better. We all put out our hands. Some of us, maybe a little later, lah, for fear that, you know, we get into trouble or what. But if it's a good thing, you're going to get, sure. Got sale in Queen's Bay Mall. 70%. Let's advance. How many of you put up your hands right now? Great thing, right? Oh, yeah, some hands going up already. But when God's calling us and telling us, I want to do something great in your life, I want you to advance, do we pause for a moment and say, God, how do I show reverence? Because the only way that we can advance is when God's presence is with us. You know, Moses said this, God, you got to come with us, because if you don't come with us, I'm not going to go. He knew that nothing is going to happen if he move on ahead without the presence of God. And he's saying that we need to advance. God wants to do something in our midst. We need to move on. We need to first of all recognize that God must be with us. And the thing is this. A lot of times as Christians, we recognize that. We say, yes, we need God with us. You know, do anything. Amen? Hello? Amen? We need God with us. But do we step back and say, okay, if God is with us, well, what do we do? In reverence. Every day of our lives, in reverence to Him. These two things must go together. And we must not take the presence of the Lord for granted. The second thing that happens is the angel of the Lord, the Lord says this to Joshua now in verse 2. He says, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Now, has it been done? No. Seeing must be an act of faith. Joshua is there, he's together with everybody else. The angel, the Lord comes and says, see, I've already done this. You know, it's interesting. It is interesting that the Lord didn't say, I believe, I've given Jericho into your hands. He says, see. He didn't say, just believe. See. Seeing is a physical thing. it's a physical thing. It's not just dream. He didn't say, okay, dream that I've, or he didn't say believe. He didn't say imagine. He asked Joshua to do something that's physical. See. See, I have delivered. We can only do that by faith. Advancing is an act of faith. And seeing, although it hasn't happened yet, needs a response. We need to respond to Him. We can only see and respond by faith. In advancing, while we say that we need to have reverence, the second thing that comes is a revelation. The Lord gives Joshua a revelation. First, he kneels down, he falls down, face flat, and gives reverence to the Lord. And then the Lord gives him a revelation. See. Now, every revelation that God gives to us needs a response. Needs a response. Every revelation God gives to us needs a response. We need to take what God has revealed to us by faith and say, God, what else do you want me to do? I'm ready. We need to arise in obedience. But then until this point, no action yet, you know. Okay, there's no rah, 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 let's advance yet. And the Lord says to Joshua, okay, this is what you must do. And then the third thing that happens is very interesting. The Lord tells Joshua to walk around. So the third point I want to say is this, that firstly, there needs to be reverence. Secondly, there needs to be a revelation that comes from God, and we need to find out what that is. And then, thirdly, there is restraint. Now, you thought by then that when God gives a revelation, let's get up and let's go. I did say that the revelation needs to be accompanied by some form of action, right? But here, the action is this. Restrain. For some of us, that's very odd, huh? That's very strange, huh? In fact, to the extent whereby it could be very weird. Unnatural. Advance, but the first course of action, hold back a bit. Restrain. And for them, their course of advancement, no fighting. Let's just walk around, think about God, praise the Lord. 7 days, huh? Very often I ask this question, you know. First day, I think I'll be excited, lah. Honestly, I think I'll be excited. First day, come on, let's go walk around. Second day, don't say anything, I'll just walk around, okay? Second day, 6 days. I hope this is not what will happen in next month, you know. This is the year of change. 6 day, wake up, I'm gonna walk around again. After one round, let's do it again. Come on, guys, let's walk around again. After two rounds, again. Like some coach like that. Beep! Again! Again! 7 times. When are we ever going to fight? Isn't that what advancing is about? When are we ever going to take the city? Isn't that what advancing is about? I can imagine these are the questions that are arising up. Maybe by the third day or the fourth day. Some people second day already asked already. When? Restrain. I'm reminded of Elijah. Remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal, the Baal prophets. This huge confrontation, 450, you know, false prophets. And God does a miracle. Right? First Kings chapter 19. And after this, after this great miracle, the queen says, this Elijah, I'm going to have his head, right? I'm going to kill him. And he hears the message and he, for whatever reason, runs away and hides himself in a cave. And chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19, the angel comes to him, gives him food to drink, and then go down to verse 9. Okay, he spent a cave there. He went into a cave, spent the night there. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty." Now this is Rara Elijah speaking, okay? He's up and, you know, he said, "This is exactly what happened. I've been on fire. I've been advancing. I've been very zealous for the Lord. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, you know, broken our altars and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one left. Now they are trying to kill me." And the Lord said, "Go up and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord is about to pass by." Now Elijah is all, you know, he's exhausted. It's immediately after his advance issue with all the 450 prophets. He's totally exhausted and he thinks that he's the only one left. Tired. And the Lord said this, I'm gonna come. Go stand at the mountain. I'm gonna come. And it's very interesting. It says, "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord." Now can you imagine that? You're standing at the mountain, right? A wind comes and tears the mountain apart. What is that? And then it says, "But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out, stood at the mouth of the cave, and the voice said to him, 'What are you doing here?' And he replied, 'Same thing, I've been zealous for the Lord, and I know there's only me left.'" And then verse 15, the Lord said, "Go back to the way you came and go to the desert or mountain. When you get there, anoint these people," and so on and so forth. The Lord gives a command. You see, there needs to be a time whereby we hold back and wait. Most of us don't like that word, huh? Wait. Guilty. Especially when the revelation is given, you know. Wait. Elijah stands there, says, "Go, I'm going to pass." And this tremendous wind came. God's not there. You would imagine that something as dramatic as that, God's going to be there, right? Wind comes, whole mountain disappear. You know, this is not David Copperfield or magic, you know. The Lord comes, the mountain's gone, it's ripped apart. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Wait. Earthquake! Nothing happens. Some more. How many of us standing there by that time, you know? God. Did I hear you right? Fire. I don't know how the fire came. Okay. whether there's a pillar of fire, you know, lightning came down, bushfire, I don't know. Not there. Wait. I can imagine if, you know, I was there, perhaps for most of us there, you know. God, where are you? Come on! You know, is there something greater that's coming? Because these are big stuff. Our God is a big God, right? So He's gonna go do big stuff, you know. You know, one mountain disappear. Maybe the next one, two mountains gonna be disappear, and that's where God is gonna be, or, you know, something like that. No. And then there was a gentle whisper, and there was God. And God comes and speaks to Elijah and says, go. This is what will happen. I believe that as a church, God's wanting us to advance, but yet at the same time, He's saying that this is going to be my way. This is how we're going to do it. First, we need to come to the point, and we need to ask ourselves, hey, we say this, God is with us, you know, we need Him. But what have we done, really, to fall down in reverence? What have we done? Take off our sandals. Figuratively, right? To honor and be in the presence, in reverence of the Almighty God. Have we taken Him for granted? And if that is the case, maybe, perhaps, and dare to say, most probably so, the reason why we can't advance. And after that, God comes and gives a revelation. See. It's reminded me also of the battle that King Jehoshaphat, you know, you heard this story before as well. Yeah, he's there, he's faced with, you know, great armies. Why don't we just turn to that? Because the Lord does the same thing, you know. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon this guy and he prophesies to the king, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And he says this in verse 17. You will not have to fight this battle. 2 Chronicles 20, 17. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord. And what do? They go around, next paragraph, he bows down on the ground, he worships. Here you see the act of reverence here. And all the people of Judah fell down in worship before the Lord. And then it goes on to say, they begin to worship the Lord. Verse 22, as they began to sing praise to the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon. What did they have to do? Fall down, reverence, have a revelation, see this is what's happening. And then, hold on, let's step back and worship. Let's have quiet time. Let's be in the presence of the Lord. Because the battle belongs to the Lord, right? And so sometimes we have to pause and not jump up. Let's go back to Elijah and read that last bit. You know, the Lord says, go, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel Meholah, to succeed you as a prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet, verse 18, I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all those whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouth have not kissed him. Here, there is a reserve. The fourth thing that I always think about is the reserve that God is setting up. Elijah says, hey, I'm the only one left, God. And God says, no. There's a reserve that's going to come and they're going to help you. Go and anoint these people. And he goes on and anoint the people. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua goes in, does what happens, does exactly what the Lord tells him to do. They walk around, Jericho collapses, they go in, and, you know, everyone dies. They kill everyone. They kill everything. And the Lord said that everything is to be devoted to him. Now this is the first fruit, right? The first city that they plundered, everything is devoted to the Lord. In fact, you read on chapter 6, you know, you find that word appearing over and over again. You know, these are the things that are devoted to the Lord. The devoted things, all the articles were put into the treasury of the Lord's house. We find that in verse 24. They burned the whole city, everything in it, but put the silver, the gold, the articles of bronze, and iron in the treasury of the Lord's house. But one guy in chapter 7 by the name of Achan decided, oh, this one's so nice. I keep for myself. Nobody will know. But the Lord gave a command already. Don't touch. And because he kept it, the second city, smaller city, they should have beaten it, you know, flat. They lost. They lost the battle. And the Lord said that, you know, there is sin. There is sin because someone has taken something that has been devoted to the Lord. Now, of course, to cut the long story short, go back and read chapter 7, chapter 8. Joshua finds out who it is, and that guy was judged. And then they go back to the city and they defeated that city easily. Now this is the point whereby we talk about advancing and say, oh yeah, there is, you know, some plunder. There is some taking. Okay? If you see the second city, when they went to Ai, they plundered, you know, they took everything, whatever they wanted, take. But the first one, Jericho, the things belong to the Lord. It was devoted to the Lord. When we think about this word reserve, I want to present to you two sides of it. Firstly, that God will raise up, just like in the case of Elijah, an army for him. You're not standing alone. I've reserved certain things for you. As far as Joshua was concerned, this land is yours. I reserved it for you. Go and take. Everywhere your foot stands, it's yours. But there is a portion that is reserved for the Lord. Everything in Jericho, first fruit belongs to the Lord. That is reserved for him. That's a different kind of reserve, right? But I'm using the same word here. Belongs to the Lord. That causes, if you think about that, it's another pause button, you know. We say, hey, wait a minute. We got to pause and think about the desire of the Lord. What God wants exactly. And certain things we don't touch. How many times in our life we have told God, God, I really like this thing, person, activity. And God says, no, 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 no. I want you to devote your time to something else. And you say, God, I want. And we fight with God. And sometimes we fight with God for years. Over that one thing. Or, you know, a one situation. No advancement simply because God's reserve, that which is supposed to be reserved for God, has not been. And God, on the other hand, will not give us the reserve that he wants to give us, simply because we have not devoted the things that are devoted to God for him. If you need to put a title in this message, put this down. Advance in stillness. Be quiet for a while. A lot of times we think of advancing and moving onwards. We think about, rah, 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 let's go, let's conquer, let's get it, man. And I believe God is saying to us today, pause. We're going to advance, and this is how we're going to do it. Quietly. What does that mean? One, let's think about reverence. How do we do that? What have we done? What have we not done? Two, let's think about the revelation of God upon our lives. Because God says, see, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. Walk around. How many of us, some of us, better don't put our hand, guilty of being selective in God's revelation? We take the Bible and say, yeah, this is the word of God, but there are certain portions, we read faster, or we don't read at all. We speed read, you know. Oh, this part, yeah, God is good. Hallelujah, amen. Let's go to the next part. And we do that when God speaks to us as well, you know. We hear what we want to hear. See, I'm going to give you the land. Okay, thank you, God. This is what I heard you. And then we forget what God says next. You know, we forget. Okay, let's restrain. Right? God says he's going to give us, so we're going to go. Okay, everybody sharpen your swords and your spears. Tomorrow, we go. Or, some of us, we walk three rounds, 3 days. Say, we walk already, let's go. You know, God has given us this land, right? God says pause. And then pause again to see that there are certain things in our life, if we are going to advance, we need to say, these things I cannot have. Cannot have. People, time, activities, articles, items, whatever, luxury. Some of them may not even be luxury, but God say, no. Belongs to me. When you put that in place, then you will see things happen. Can you imagine what would happen if everyone decided to go into Jericho and take whatever they wanted for themselves and say, well, God already gave us the land, right? He said it, right? Right. Let's listen to that part and just ignore. I'm sure God loves us. You know, he'll give us some of the nice things. Besides, everybody does it anyway. Huh? I mean, that was culture, right? If you conquer a city, you're allowed to take everything that you find. So culturally, nothing wrong by taking everything. You conquered the city. Everybody's doing it. A lot of times we say this as well, even today. Hey, everybody's doing it, so it's okay. But God says, reserve. It's for me. And perhaps some of us, at this point of time, yes, we have been thinking about advance. Let's be thinking about fight. Let's go, warrior style, you know. God says, stop. I will take you. This is how we will advance. Many times we come to the Lord and say, God, that does not make sense. True. That's when we have to depend on Him more. That's when we have to say, God, I'm believing you. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and I'm going to be all excited to walk around the city. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then I'm going to go home and I'm going to sleep. And wake up all excited to walk one more round. And the next day, one more round. And the next day, one more round. And I'm going to hold back my natural human urge to do what I like to do. I'm going to hold back what society tells me to do. I'm going to hold back that which is natural to obey you. And I was going to ask this, can you imagine what would happen if everybody just do whatever they like with Jericho, take whatever they want? And then when the Lord says, hey, somebody has sinned, you know, they've taken the things that have been devoted to the Lord. You say, well, God, why not? Can lah, never mind lah. We do this all the time, you know. God, it's only a small thing. It's okay lah. They would never advance to the next city. They would never advance to conquer the land flowing with milk and honey. They would never advance to see what God has for them. Maybe go back to the wilderness for another 40 years. I don't know what will happen. Right? Things that are devoted to the Lord. Church, today I want to tell us this. I want us to get excited. I want us to get excited because we are advancing. Some of you are not very excited. Let's advance! Okay. But your message is not about advancing at all. It's like, sit down and wait, you know, be still. A lot of times we say this, God, I'm ready. Are we ready? 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 Everybody ready? Advance. Yeah. If you're ready, then we need to come to the point whereby to say that, God, I want to do everything your way. Your way. I know it's going to happen. I can see it happening. For some of us, I can smell it happening. You know, you like to say that, right? But this is how God wants it done. So let's pause for a moment and again ask ourselves this. Have we taken God for granted sometimes? God, you are so good. Thank you. Bless me some more. Bless, bless, bless. And we've never taken off our sandals. Have we sometimes taken the revelation of God for granted? Oh, sometimes we don't even wait for the revelation of God to come. God, what do you want us to do? We don't wait. We just say, oh, we just hear the word advance. You know, we sharpen our swords and we go and chop somebody up. God is saying, hold back. Be still. It's not in the earthquake. It's not in the wind. It's not in the fire. All that has to pass. And then he'll come. And God is saying, hey, wait a minute. Hold back. Are certain areas in our life that, you know, God wants it to be devoted to him, but we have messed it up. And God is saying, let's go back. Let's be still for a minute. And I believe today, God wants us to really think about advancing in stillness. Okay? Oxymoron, right? Advancing quietly. Hold back for a moment. Because that's how he wants us to move. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we ask that you search our hearts right now. Search our hearts right now. Lord, we want to confess to you the times whereby we have perhaps taken you for granted. The times whereby we have taken lightly, failed to respond to your revelation. The times that we have failed to put on any form of restraint, but to just do things our own way, to see things in our light. Help us to be quiet, O God. Forgive us, Lord, for the times whereby we have misused the things that have been reserved for you. Our time, our life, the things that you have given to us. Forgive us, Lord. And we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are taking us, leading us in advancement. We thank you for that. And Father, we pray, Lord, right now, that you'll give us a different spirit. Just as Joshua had a different spirit. You'd give us a different spirit. One that would shout out only at the appropriate time. And when we shout, Lord, we will shout out loud. But teach us also to be still, to be quiet, to know how to show love as we experience it from you, to know how to show it. Lord, we pray that you would teach us your ways. Your ways are higher than ours. And we pray, Lord, that from henceforth, be it in our homes, in our schools, colleges, in our workplaces, Lord, we will experience you and we will see you in a different light. Because it's all about you. It's all about you. And so, Father, we pray for a change that will come into our lives, that we will advance. Thank you, Lord. That we will advance, Lord, but we will do it your way. That we will do it in accordance to your plan and your purposes. Lead us now, we pray. Open our hearts and speak to us. Lord, I pray a blessing for your people here. Your grace will come upon each and every one of them. And it will overflow to their families, to their colleagues, their classmates, schoolmates, their neighbors. Lord, your grace will just overflow. Such an outpouring upon every single person that is here, Lord, I pray. And Lord, even as we part from this place, Father, we ask, Lord, that there will be a sense of your tangible presence. Not just knowing it in our heads, but Lord, we will feel your presence with us. And we will respond to you just as if you were there. Oh, of course you were there at all. That we will respond to you. Take us to greater heights, God. We thank you that you are advancing us. And we pray, O God, that you would move. That we would move in your ways as you move. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.